Let's read just a little bit from the book of St. John, the 17th chapter. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, a lot of things that we can talk about in the Bible, but one thing is the chief thing, and that is the word of God. The word of God. I say so often, when we think about the word of God, we think about a printed page, and we think about a letter, you know, that we look at, that someone has placed there with a little effort and a little ink. But that's not what the word of God is. That is a page that conveys to our mind and understanding the word of God by means of the letter. But whereas the Bible uses the terms "the letter killeth," referring back to the law, because it was engraven in stones, it makes us to know that God's word is spirit and life. That it is not a letter. So then you cannot put God's word on a page. You cannot put God's word on a piece of paper. God's word is the invisible force of spirit and of life that you cannot see, cannot feel, or cannot find so far as human ego. It is a spiritual power, a hidden life, that can only be contacted by means of going through Christ. That's why the Bible said the Word was spirit and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of it as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, in that He is the brightness of God. The Bible says that He is the brightness of His image. Jesus is the expression of God, the expressed image of God, because God is the Word. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. The Word expressed itself through a human form. And the glory of the expression was the brightness that was about Jesus, that with which He was illuminated. So He said to the Father, He said, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. How can the glory of God be with me? How can I experience the glory of God? One way, and that is that God, who is an invisible spirit, come upon me or come into me and glorify me with His own self. For He is the glory. And to glorify me, He must do it with His own self. So Jesus said, Father, glorify me with thine own self. That is, let me and you become one, Father. Let the Word be made flesh. And in return, let my flesh to the Word be made spirit. The Spirit Word, let it become flesh in my flesh. Let it become the Spirit Word. So he said, let me become one with you, and you become one with me. He said, for thy glory is my glory, and your glory, he said, it's one and the same, our glory. And whatever is yours, Father, he said, it's mine. And whatever is mine, he said, it's yours. So then he said, glorify me with thine own glory, with thine own self. And he says, I want these to have eternal life. And he said, what is eternal life? He said, for them to know thee, for you to glorify them with yourself is eternal life. He said, what is eternal life? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. He said, in that day, I will say, I knew you not. But that they might know thee, that they might come to know thee, to recognize thee, to accept thee, to become one with thee, to have you, to glorify them with your own glory. For my hope of glory is Christ. I have no hope of heaven. I have no hope of the glory of God. There is no way I can study and get unto it. There is no way that I can seek and search or pray or whatever and get unto it. I can't do that. There is no possible way I can do that. He must reveal himself to me, and he must become one with me. And I cannot search after him. He said, you've not sought me, I've sought you. I cannot seek him or find him because I don't know where he's at. I don't know where to go. But I can go to Jesus. I can go to the Word. And through the Word, my seeking and searching will bring me to him. To draw nigh to him, he said, I'll draw nigh to you. So he said, Father, I've manifested your name unto these men. And he said, they have kept your word. And this is something we really need to consider. He said, and these have kept thy word, Heavenly Father. This is the secret of the whole thing. He said, and these have kept thy word. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're not keeping the word of God, you're wasting your time. It doesn't matter what church you belong to, or what group that you belong to, or what kind of organization you're affiliated with. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a religious background and was brought up in religion. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Look at the Jewish people. That's all they had ever known was religion. They had never known nothing but religion. From the time that they were born into the world, they belonged to the synagogue. They were dedicated as children, but they were lost. They didn't have God. When Jesus came, he cut them out into darkness. He paid no attention to their ritualistics, their religious ritualistics. He paid no attention. Though they sacrificed unto God, he still didn't pay any attention to it. And they said, why is it that we pray and you don't listen to us? Why is it that we sacrifice and you don't listen to us? And Jesus told them, said, you sacrifice unto devils. Somebody says, Christmas is here, Brother Pike. This is the time of sacrificing. We must sacrifice. We must give to somebody. We must show them that we believe in giving and have the Christmas spirit. Jesus said, unto what do you sacrifice? He said, you sacrifice unto devils. He said, and you can't eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. Who do you give your gifts to? You give them unto devils. Someone would say, I don't give my gifts to devils, Brother Pike. The Bible said that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And when you savor the things that be of the flesh, and all of your drive and ambition is toward the flesh, or somebody's flesh, that you know they don't need a gift. They don't need your money. They don't need your help. You're sacrificing unto devils. And it will be devils that take it, and devils that destroy it, and devils that use it. So then he said, the reason I don't accept your sacrifice, he said, because you sacrifice unto devils. And he said, the reason I don't want you to eat at my table is because you are eating at the table of devils. You can't be a hypocrite, Jesus said. and get into the kingdom of God. You can't come to God, repent, say that you love God, and the next thing that someone knows, you're out in the world and you're gullibly drinking up the world, and you're just filled with the love of the world and doing the things of the world and going every way but God's way, doing everything but God's thing, concerned about everything but God's thing, living in hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron, past feeling. You can't do that and please God. There's no way that you can please God in doing those things. It's not possible for you to please God and be out in the world and do those things. You can't eat at the table of devils and then eat at the table of God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, just having those things in the world, I don't see anything wrong with them. I don't either if they're added unto you. But if you go seeking after them and you go searching after them, they're under the curse. And they are an abomination in the sight of God. And anything that God condemns and anything that God tells you that you're to leave alone, if you go after those things, then you are under the curse. Because all of those things are under the curse. Well, the Bible said the world and all that's in the world shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Jesus said, Father, these have kept thy word. The secret of it is to keep God's word. To do what God said. Someone would say, well, I belong to the church, Brother Pike. I believe in being churchy. I believe in supporting the church. I believe in standing behind the preacher. But let me ask you something. Are you doing what the preacher told you to do? Or is the man that you're standing behind a preacher? Is he really a man of God? You say, how can I tell that, brother? By looking at the word. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. If the man isn't speaking God's word, then there's something wrong. This is why we press the issue on baptism the way we do. When a man gets up and tells you that you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name, and when a man gets up and tells you that God calls women into the ministry, you know that that man's not a man of God. Because that man is not preaching the word of God. He's not telling you the word of God. He's not telling you the truth. And if you follow that man and you go do what that man says do, you'll die and go to hell. For the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the ditch is the great whore. And the whore is the flesh. And the sentence of death is in the flesh. And the flesh is the great whore. And the Bible said, I'll burn her flesh with fire. So then, when we speak of baptism and we commission you to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I have manifested thy name, Father, and there is none other name given under heaven where man must be saved. He said, I've manifested your name. Peter said, repent, every one of you, not part of you, but all of you Catholic people repent. All of you Church of God people repent. All of you Baptist people repent. All of you Methodist people repent. All of you denominational and non-denominational and whoever you are. All of you wicked people. He said repent, every one of you. Every one of you. Not part of you. Not some of you. Repent, every one of you, he said. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For it is unto you and your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I have manifested thy name, Father. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God didn't say to some group, you can do it this way and you can do it that way. He said through the ministry that if the man be the man of God, he will speak God's word. And God's word says, repent every one of you. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For it is the Heavenly Father's name. So then, when people tell you these other things, you don't feel like it's very important, you know, that they tell you the truth. You don't feel like it's very important. You say, well, they feel like they're right. And if I give them my money and if they buy a racehorse, what difference does it make? God knows I was honest in giving it. It makes one difference. If you give them your money and you know they're going to buy a racehorse with it, you'll go to hell for giving it to them.
unless the horse is going to race for Christ. And when I say that, I don't mean to go out here in the derbies. I'm talking about down where the missionaries are, somewhere racing over a hill to trying to get to somebody to help them. So then, it is important that you hear the words of God. For faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. You say, let him preach anything as long as we're happy. Brother Pike, as long as we feel good, we know that God is with us. Because we shouted, we spoke in tongues, he prophesied, and we know that God was all through that service. Well, beloved friend, let me tell you something. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you jump. I don't care how much you run. I don't care how much you say you feel the Spirit of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Jesus wasn't interested in how much they shouted. He wasn't interested in how much they run or jumped. He was interested in His Father's Word and that they believed the things that Jesus spoke to them. This was Jesus' principal interest. And that's my interest tonight. To speak sober words from the Bible, because faith cometh by the hearing of the word. The preacher preaches the word and you hear the word. And what you do concerning the word is a confirmation of your faith. It is a proof that faith is in your heart. And when you hear that word and that word says to you to do a certain thing and you don't do it, you will die and go to hell. Because that's a positive proof of unbelief. As many as believed Peter's word when he commanded them to be baptized, the Bible said they were baptized, and 3,000 people in one day was added unto the church because they believed his word. The ones that did not believe Peter's words were not baptized. So then you say, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike? If 3,000 people was baptized in the name of Jesus and they were added unto the church, then it's very clear that those that did not believe Peter's word were not baptized. So then it is also clear that they were not added unto the church. So then if they did not honor God's word, they were not put into the body of Christ. What makes you think that today that you can be put into the body of Christ? If God did not let those people go into the body of Christ because they did not believe his word, what makes you think that God is going to let you go into the kingdom of God because you did the same thing? What makes you think that God is going to change? The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do you think that you are some special privileged person that you look in such a way that God is going to favor your person? Or that you're so intelligent, or so rich, or so busy, or so important that God is going to alter his word and let you get by with what he did not let them get by with. What makes you think that you're going to do that? I can tell you as of a truth, there won't be one, not one. There won't be one that stands before God, not one person that stands before God, but what they violated the word of God, they will be turned into the lake of fire. It doesn't matter who you are, or what kind of background you got, or how long you've been in religion, or how much you've studied, or how much you fasted, or how much you prayed, you will be turned into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God will be turned into hell. And God is the Word. And when you forget the Word, you'll be turned into hell. All nations will be turned into hell. And so then Jesus said, Father, I have manifested thy word. I've kept them, O God, in thy word. And he said, I've not lost to one of them except the unbeliever who refused to believe the word, and he will be turned into hell. So then Jesus said, I've not lost to one of them except the unbeliever. Said he's the son of perdition. He was the one that didn't believe. He was the one that didn't listen. I chose 12 of them, and one of them was a devil from the beginning. Sometimes you've got a church full of people and you might have 15 believers out of it and the rest of them might be devils. Or you might have a good church and you might have maybe 5 or 10 of them devils. But there's one thing about it, the devils are in the church. The devils are among the people. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, that the devils came also. And so then the devils are among you. They may be sucking on a weed. They may be smoking, they may be chewing, they may be dipping, they may be cursing. They may be backbiting. They may be stealing. They may be manipulating here and there. They may have spirits of jealousy, spirits of resentment, fault finding. They may be just somebody that's in and out and up and down, just enough to blemish the church or cause people to look another way. They may be standing at the door and won't come in and hindering everybody else by being religious. But there are devils and demons in the church. Not in the church of the living God, but in the church realm, in the church world, with the church people. Hundreds and thousands of devils and demons, sons of the devil, daughters of the devil. And when the sons of God come to present themselves, the devils come also. And the Bible said it's so close in that they are a reflector. It is so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. They're not doing the things that you think they're doing. Did you know they are a reflector? They reflect you, and they reflect others. And they reflect your religious way of life. They reflect that. And they look just as godly as you do. And they look just as religious as you do. Somebody said, one thing about it, I wear the long dresses, some of the ladies would say. I know, and some of you are a devil. You are a wolf in sheep clothing. I know that. See, somebody, whoa, now if it was right with God, they'd wear the long dresses. Oh, if they wear the long dresses, that's proof they're right with God. It don't prove nothing. You don't go to heaven because you wear a long dress. You wear a long dress because you are a candidate for heaven. You don't wear a long dress to make you a Christian. But folks, when you get God on the inside as a lady, you'll want to cover up your nakedness. That's a proof that something's on the inside of you. Just because you try to do a certain way as a man, that doesn't mean that you've got God. But there's one thing about it. If you've got God on the inside of you, you'll do according to Christ. And you'll act like Christ. And you'll conform to the ways of the Lord. But being religious doesn't prove anything. I've got devils and demons in this church. They aggravate me during the service. They bother me during the service. Because when they come in, their minds are everywhere. They're carnal minded. They've already got... always got something natural on their mind. Always something natural on their mind. And the devil just takes their mind here and there and everywhere. In everything. You know why? Because they don't love light. Their deeds are evil. And they don't want to come to the light because they know their deeds is going to be made manifest. And it's going to be seen that they've got evil spirits in their lives. And they don't want you to know that they've got those evil spirits because they love the darkness. Because their deeds are evil. So then back to the Christmas season. What do we sacrifice unto? If we're not sacrificing unto God, then we sacrifice unto devils. We give our gifts unto devils. We don't give our gifts unto God. We don't give our time unto God. We don't give our time to God in prayer and in fasting, in searching and seeking out the lost and the hungry and the needy. We don't give our time to God as to meditate in God's laws. We give our time to gossip, to backbiting, to murmuring, to complaining, to finding fault, just to be in a frolic all day long. To go here and there, gullibly desiring, wanting to buy, wanting to have, wanting to spend, wanting to make money, wanting to have the preeminence, wanting some kind of a business, wanting some kind of a something in the world that'll make us stand out. You know, as Mr. in the world, or as the First Lady. See, but God manifested Himself through a body that was filled with His brightness, that was filled with His glory, that was filled with Himself. Glorify thou me, Father, with thine own self. How can you be glorified, Brother Pike? And the Bible said, and God justified them, and God predestinated them, and God sanctified them, and God saved them. God glorified them. How then can you be glorified, Brother Pike? How can a person then be glorified? With thine own self, Father. With thine own self. What do you mean with thine own self? I mean, Father, your characteristics revealed in my life. That is my glorification. If you believe in holiness, then let holiness radiate through my life. If you are the spirit of holiness, God, then let thine own self show forth in my life. Let your characteristics be in my life, Father. With thine own self, what is your attributes? What is your characteristics, Father? What is the greatness of your glory? Let me conform to that. Let me be that. Let your word be made flesh, and let my flesh be made spirit. Whatever you are, Father, let me be that, for I am predestinated in you. And so then I must have God glorify me with his own greatness, with his own presence. I must become the express image of him. Therefore, he must express himself through me and glorify me with his own presence. If God is the spirit of holiness, if God is the spirit of love, if God is the spirit of cleanliness, if God is the spirit of patience and understanding and meekness and long-suffering, then God glorify me with those things. For Father, when those things come through me, I shall not be barren. When those things are manifested through me, then I will know that you and I are one. And when I see these things and the people see these things, Father, then they will see you glorifying me with thine own self. And I will become thine own self, Heavenly Father. And it will not be me living, but it will be you. It will not be my flesh and my ambition or the infiltration of death, but it will be you, Heavenly Father. And so then, Father, glorify me with thine own self. Let me be the express image of your person. Let me be the express image of your person, in that you don't have a person of your own, as Webster defines the word bodily presence or whatever, in that you don't have a human person except Jesus and except us as the memberships of the God body. Then, Father, let this be your person. Let me be the express image of your person. Let me be the brightness of your glory. Let the world see me as God in the flesh. Let the world behold me as one that has added godliness unto my experience, as the Bible tells us. So then, if anything have virtue in him, anything be pure, anything be lovely, then the Bible tells us that we should add these things unto us. Glorify me with thine own self, Father. And he said, Father, these have kept thy word. How can I do that? By keeping thy word. Keeping thy word. What is thy word? Lord, thy word is thy will. Your word is yourself. Your word is the very coming of your own being. And let me conform to the word. Let me feed of the word. Let me melt myself down into the word. Let me get rid of my will and my ambition. Let me get rid of the gullible desire of the carnal things and the natural things. Let me get rid of my old natural thinking, my old natural reasoning, my old argumental minds. It's always contrary to the spiritual things. And let me become spiritually minded. How can I become spiritually minded? Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. By becoming word minded. For the word is spirit and the word is life. And if I think upon the word, if I eat the word, if I study the word, if I live with the word, if everything is God's word day and night, if I meditate in his laws, in his word day and night, after a while I'm going to become so much like the word that when I speak, I'll be talking about the word. When somebody answers me, I'll be answering them as the word. And everything that comes out of me will be the word. It'll be the word of God. It'll be God glorifying me with his own self. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what we ought to be. This is what we must be to be the bride of the word. We must give ourselves to a oneness with the word if we become the bride of the word. You know, it would be sad to know that you could not be the bride. Isn't that right? I hear a lot of people talking about being the bride. I hear this everywhere I go. But it's sad to realize how blind that people are. If then Jesus was the word, if God was the word, how can you be the bride? If the word was made flesh and you're supposedly the body, or you're supposedly the flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, how can that be? You must be the word. How could Paul say, I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh? Because he was the word. He was the living word. He said, it's not me living, but it's the word that's living. It's not me living, but he said, it's Christ that's living within me. See, I'm the word, he said. Wherever you see me in the morning, it will be the word. When you see me in the evening, it will be the word. When I lay down at night, it will be the word. When I rise in the morning, it will be the word. You won't find Saul. Saul is dead. And he said, and I am now Christ in the earth. I am now the Lord in the earth. And you receive me as the Lord himself. This is what you've got to do, folks, if you intend to be the bride. Now, if you just want to tag along and you just want to do any old way and be any old thing, that's up to you. But if you want the prize, the mark of the high calling, if you want to go into a full reward, If you want the thing that God spoke of, then you're going to have to conform to the Word, and you're going to have to get away from your Christmas ritualistics. You're going to have to get away from your paganistic practices of holidays and these kind of things. You're going to have to come to a place in God to where you're nothing but the Word. You're going to have to treat your fellow man right. You're going to have to forget about your wife, forget about your husband, forget about your children, forget about your plans, forget about your programs, forget about all of those things, and put Christ first and do what Christ tells you to do and become the Word. And then as you become the Word, whatever God brings to you out of the Word, whether it's the love of the wife or the love of the child or the love of doing whatever you're supposed to do, then God will add those things and He will bless you. I love my wife, but I love God first. I love the Word first. And then out of the Word, I'm told to love my wife and love my children. But God first. Abraham laid his son on the altar as God laid his son on the altar, being called the friend of God. See, the only way that God could have a friend was to have someone that would take that full step. Someone that would go as far as he went. And he went far enough to lay his son on the altar. That's how far that God went. And Abraham went that far. And so then when Abraham went that far, he come into the realm of God and become the father of the faithful. And God said, I've got a friend. Abraham is my friend. We're on the same level. How many of us is on the level of God? So then the only thing that I know to do is to sacrifice this body. To give this body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Delivered as the lamb to the altar, not to open my mouth, but to look unto God, that God may make this body the Word and make my whole being the Word. So let me be the Word in the morning and the Word in the evening and the Word during the daytime. Let me be the Word. Let me have nothing on my mind but God and the Word and what I can do for God and how that I can help establish the kingdom of God in this earth. And all of the other things secondary. But folks, let me tell you, when you don't put God first and when you don't have the burning zeal and ambition for God, first of all, you are not the Word. You are not the bride. There's no need of you telling yourself that you're the bride. You're not the bride. The bride is one with God. One with God. If a woman lives with a man and she's not one with the man, she's not that man's bride. In the day of the judgment, God is going to bring her to the line. And God is going to point her to the Word of God. And God is going to burn her fields for living with that man and not being one with him in her spirit. Because she's not his bride. She is a hypocrite. He's married to a hypocrite. She's not his bride. But if she loves him with all of her heart, and she wants to conform to him with all of her heart, and she wants to be one with him with all of her heart, then she is truly his bride. And she will be rewarded according to the same reward that he receives. But otherwise, if her admiration is somewhere else, she won't be rewarded with what he's rewarded with, if he hath any reward at all. So then she is hypocritical. And any person that is not given fully to the Word of God in a full surrender, they're not the bride of Christ. They're not the Word bride. They're not made the Word. They're not walking in the Word. They're not conforming to the Word. They're not one with the Word. They can't say it's not me living but the Word. So then Jesus said, Father, and these have kept thy word. I've given them your word, Father, and they've kept your word. They've kept your word, not just heard your word, but the Bible said not the hearer of the word shall be saved, but the doer of the word. For he that doeth the word, not he that heareth the word, though faith cometh by hearing, it is a positive thing that you didn't get the faith and you didn't manifest the faith and you didn't have the faith because you didn't do the word. But when you do the Word, then that is a proof of your faith and you're believing in the Word. So then you're saved by faith. God said to Noah, build an ark. I want you to build an ark to the saving of your household. I want you to build an ark. Now, Noah, if you believe my word, you'll do what I tell you. There's going to be a flood, Noah. And you're going to have a place to go and experience. That way you can escape. Now what if Noah had to disbelieve the word? What if Noah had to pay no attention to the word? What if Noah had said, well, I believe God, but he hadn't done anything about it? Would he have believed? Would it have saved him? If he had not built the ark as a proof of his faith in God, would he then have been saved? He would not have been saved, because it was the ark that saved him. It was his works unto God in building the ark that provided him a place of safety. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. It is not just him that saith, Lord, Lord. It is not him that saith he believes. It is not him that joineth himself unto some religious body. But it is the man and woman that says, God, if you say it's holiness in dressing, I'm going to dress holy. Hallelujah. And if it's virtue that you want in my life, I'm going to add virtue to it. And if it's righteousness that you want in my life, I'm going to find out what righteousness is. And whatever you want me to do, God, if you want me to feed the hungry, if you want me to try to help someone, if you want me to conform to any certain thing, I'm going to do it, God, because it is building that ark that's going to save you. This little body is an ark, and you're building this ark in His image. And the Bible said, and He built the ark according to the desire of God. He pitched it inside, He pitched it outside. He built it just according to the mind of God. And if you build this little ark in which your soul is resting, if you build this little ark, this little house, this little tabernacle, if you build this thing in the image of God and after the mind of God, when the wrath of God comes, when God poured out His wrath from heaven, it isn't going to affect your little ark, because you're going to outshine the noonday sun. And the wrath of God isn't going to touch you, because you're without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. And you're going to be able to come up right into the presence of God and be blessed and be whole and be healthy. And you're going to be spared. For the Bible said, them that spake often of me, I will spare them as a man. Spareth his son when I come to make up my jewels. Them that spake often of me, them that talked about me, not them that talked about money, not them that talked about businesses, not them that talked about education and talked about position and talked about the president and talked about television and talked about sports and talked about gossip and children and family and everything else. Not those kind of things. But God said, they that spake often of me, He said, that talked about the Word. Jesus, the Word. They that talked about the Word. They that had a conversation of the Word. All they talked about was the Word. Their conversation was in the Word about me. The Word, God, the Word. They that talked about the Word. He said, I'm going to spare these folks. I'm going to spare these folks. That's why that I have tried as hard as I have, day and night, to talk to you about the Word. I've kept you for hours down at the multipurpose building or somewhere else, over till the wee hours of the morning, talking to you about the Word, so that you would get a mind of the Word. I come to visit with you, I talk to you about the Word. I come to the church, I talk to you about the Word. I meet you out in the yard, I talk to you about the Word. If I come on your job, I talk to you about the Word. Why do I do that? Because I want you to be Word-minded. I want you to bring every thought into subjection to the Word. I want you to talk about the Word, so God will spare you when He comes, that you might be counted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. The Word, meditate in the Word day and night, and bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Word of God. See, this is why I talk to you like I do. It's like Steve come to me the other day. Steve Floyd come to me day before yesterday or yesterday. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, what must I do to get started in my ministry? God's got His hands on Steve. He's called him to the ministry. Somebody said, you don't know. He's a renegade. He goes here. He does that. He's not interested. I know. I saw him. I can't help what you see. Just as God speaks to me about different ones in the audience and tells me things, I'm not making jokes and I'm not guessing. God put His hands on Steve and called him to the ministry. He may never go to the ministry. He may shun God. He may go to hell. Many are called, but few are chosen. But God has called him to the ministry. No make-believe about it. He's got a ministry. He'll have a ministry if he honors God, if he obeys God. And if he don't, the wrath of God will be upon him. Paul said, if I don't carry this charge out, then a part of the gospel is committed unto me as to the judgment of it. So then he come to me and he said, what must I do, Brother Pike? He said, I want to do the right thing. He said, I asked God a few things and said, immediately God done those things. I said, God, if you want me to do this, then you do that. Steve said, he did them. Said, what must I do?
And it's like I told Steve, you've got to get with the Word of God. You've got to talk about the Word of God. You've got to think on the Word of God. You've got to study to show yourself approved. You've got a great responsibility. You've got to minister to the people. You've got to guide the people. You've got to tell them the right things. You can't guess at it. If you do, God will get you for that. That is a great and a mighty calling. There is not any calling in the world equal to it. Neither a queen, nor a king, nor a president, nor no other calling in the world. Celebrities and singers and whatever they might be is all a sideline. Even to be a billionaire or the richest man in the world is nothing but garbage compared to the calling of Christ. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. And just think, God has called you to sonship. He hath called you people to be sons and daughters of God. He hath called you to sonship. And then would you sell your birthright to sonship for a morsel of bread? Would you do that? Had you rather watch some dirty, filthy, make-believe television show or some silly joke of Bob Holt or somebody else and sell your sonship for a few gullible moments of puffing on a weed or gossiping and backbiting and getting temperamental and going after the things of the world or to have some deal or to sell something or to trade something or to try to get an education? Would you sell your birthright, the sonship, and the kingship for such a foolish thing? Paul called it the beggarly elements of the world, those things to which you are in bondage. Would you do that? To eat and to drink, to be in bondage to your belly, all of your labor being for your belly because your belly craves it of you. The Bible said all of your labor is for your mouth because your mouth craves it of you. Would you do that? So then I said to Steve, I said, you need to study the Word. That's the main thing. You start studying the Word. You start living in the Word. You start being like the Word. And the first news you know, you won't have to try to preach. It'll be coming out of you. You won't have to try to preach at all. Every time you go to say something, the first news you know, you'll be in the Word of God. And the Word of God will come out. And you'll just be having yourself a time. Everything that you think about will be the Word. Everything that you say will be the Word. And the Spirit of God will be inspiring you. And you'll have a ministry. That's what a ministry is. It's saying something to people about their souls and helping people to know the truth. And it's for sure that you can't have a ministry if you don't have the Word of God. And Jesus said, Father, they have kept your word. Hallelujah. How can I tell a ministry? How can I tell a minister? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. I'm going to say this and try to close. Not only will he speak God's word, but he'll be strict and he'll be straight himself to the best of his knowledge and ability. And he won't shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. But if a man isn't like that, he's going to have programs. He's going to have parties. He's going to have plans. He's going to have ambitions. And he's going to always have something that has nothing to do with the Word to keep you busy in it and to keep you gullibly swallowed up in it and keep your mind on the world. Whether he's got a football team or a volleyball team or a baseball team or a pool table or a pool hall or whether he wants you to go down to the beaches or whatever he wants, he's going to have some worldly program to keep you entertained until your soul drops off into hell. I made this statement the other day, and I'd like to make it here. Sometimes I go to the airport, I go to the different places, and as I go around to these different places, I watch people. And they're laughing and they're drinking, they're playing games and they're doing all kinds of things, playing cards and drinking booze. And they're dancing, they're listening to the jukebox, all of these things. Having themselves a ball, as the world says. In their great, great era. And I look at them and I hear God say to me, he'll say, son, you see that person? And I think, I'm looking at it, I see it. And the Lord will say, that's a fool. That is a fool. And he said they laughed their way into hell. He said, and Satan keep them laughing. Bob Holt or some comedian or somebody. Always joking on television. Everything's funny. You know, laughing and laughing and laughing. Always laughing. God said the devil keeps them like that to keep their minds from thinking. He doesn't give them any leisure to where they can think on God and where they can be sober-minded. He said, and they laugh, and they drink, and they eat, and they laugh, and they drink, and they eat, until finally they drop off into the pits of hell. That's what Moses found when he come down off the mountain.
They were eating, they were drinking, they were laughing, they were dancing around the golden calf. They was having themselves a jubilee. And all of a sudden, Moses just said, God, let them go down to the pit quickly. And the earth opened up, and down into the pit they went by the thousands. And the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, they knew not when the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, for they shall not know when the end comes. And it shall come upon them as a snare. And suddenly, all of a sudden, the cry will be shouted out, he's here. Behold, the bridegroom's here. And then it will be too late. It will be too late. The ones that love him, the ones that have been Christians, the virgins, those that are virgins. Well, you say, what do you mean virgins? Those that are virtuous. They're not tied up with the world. They're not spotted with the world. They're virtuous. They cut themselves off from the world. They're virtuous. Those virgins, that's his bride, the virgins. He came to marry the virgin. His son was born of a virgin. And so then all of a sudden, those virtuous people, they will rise up. They've travailed.
Christ has been born within them.
And they'll rise up and they'll light their lamps because it's full of the Holy Ghost. The little flame of faith will fire up. But those others, they won't have the Spirit. They won't have the Holy Ghost. They'll be a bunch of believers. But if you have not His Spirit, you're not of His. And so they'll be ritualistics. And they'll rise up, but their faith won't flame up. Condemnation will hit them. Condemnation will hit them. And though they'll beg for oil, and they'll beg for the Holy Ghost, and they'll say, look, we want to be religious. Well, we didn't know this. We didn't think that. We didn't know it was going to be like this. Share your oil with me. Don't you remember? We're friends.
And the Bible said in that day they'll take hold of your hand and they'll say, let us go with you because we've heard that God is with you.
Did you know that's happening already? Did you know that people and relatives and friends and different ones that didn't have anything to do with you and me and didn't want you and me, they didn't want us because they wanted the world. But did you know all of a sudden they're choked off of the world? And all of a sudden the world has become dirty and filthy. All of a sudden it's pain, it's woe, it's sorrow, it's heartaches. And now they want to go with you. It's like even Betty's sister, she made the statement, I understand. Said that she wished she had just went on and done whatever she was going to do when she was young. Said now that she's got a little older, she realized that instead of working and working while you're young, it should be in the reverse. Do whatever you're going to do while you're young. If you're going to work, work when you get older. You know why she said that? Because it's confusing to her. She said, now, you get a little older and you look like you've got everything you need or whatever's going on and the IRS gets right at you. And then the world wants you and the world wants to take everything you've got. Because while you was young, they grabbed you and grabbed your strength and they take everything you've got. Then when you get a little older, they don't care about you, she said. Because you can't make them any money anyway. You know? They don't care about you. All right, let's stand together. It is so important to remember what Jesus said. And these, Father, they've kept thy word. And I want you to keep them, Father, because they've kept thy word. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. See, it's one thing, as I've said so many times, to be like Adam and be overshadowed with the Shekinah glory. That's one thing. To be overshadowed with the Shekinah glory. That's one thing. But it's another thing to be born of the Shekinah. Many people are reflectors. And they're under the Shekinah. The Shekinah presence of God because of the grace. Through the blood of Jesus, it's over them. But they're not born of it. You say, how can you tell the difference? If it's over them, they'll be very religious. They'll be concerned. They'll be churchy. They'll take part. If it's over them, as a reflector, they'll do that. But if it's in them, they'll be godly. They'll be holy. They'll be virtuous. They'll be right. They'll withdraw from the world. Their thoughts and meditation will be in Him. But if they're just overshadowed, their thoughts and meditation won't be in Him. They'll be religious while you talk to them and they'll reflect what you're saying. And they'll want to get into the religious side of it. But as soon as they get out of the presence of that, they won't talk about the Word. You'll find them talking about sowing and eating and cooking. and laughing and joking and talking about the things of the world and all of the things that pertain to the flesh, buying and selling and traveling and investing, if they're just under the shadow of Christ. But folks, when God's on the inside of you, whether you're at church or whatever, when you dismiss, you'll find those individuals talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, seeking Jesus, trying to figure out how to do the will of the Father, trying their very best to do something that pertains to godliness and holiness and righteousness and pureness. You'll find them all day long, when and wherever you meet them, they'll have one thing on their mind. Brother Walker said, when you see me coming, I've got him on my mind. When you see me coming, I've got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. If you don't have Jesus on your mind all the time, then you're not born of Christ. You're not born of that Spirit. You know, my Spirit that I'm born with in my first birth, you know what it does to my brain and my body? You know what that does? It keeps me on my mind. It keeps me, my Spirit, it keeps me on my mind. You say, what do you mean by that? It keeps me on my mind. There's a car that I need. There's milkshake hamburger that I need. There's a steak that I need. There's a coat that I need. There's a suit that I need. There's money that I need. There's places that I want to go. There's things that I want to do. It keeps me on my mind because that's what it is. It's me. It's my life. It's my nature. It's me living in that little house. And you know, when you're born of God, you get the mind of Christ, and you know what it'll do? It will kill out the you. And it will be Christ on your mind. And it will be Christ needs this, and Christ needs that, and Christ's people ought to have this. And I should be doing this for God, and I must do something for God. And all the time, it'll be Christ on your mind. You know why? Because that Spirit that you was born of was Christ. And it's not you living, it's Christ. And brethren, let me tell you, if it isn't that way, you haven't got it. You haven't got it. Let's sing a little chorus together. Down at the cross where I first saw the light, burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it with me. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross
for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, there's room at the cross for everyone. There's room at the cross for you. I see my little ones come down. You know, sometimes they don't always know what's going on, but they see one or two come down and they know that something's happening, so here they come. See, they think, well, now if somebody's down there, I better go down there because something's going on. And they just come. I mean, they just come running. They want to be down there. If something's happening, if something's going on, then they want to be part of it, so they come running. I think that's so beautiful. That's so lovely. That's so sweet. Let the little ones get started off with one thing in mind. Let's go to the altar. Let's go to the altar. They get started off with that feeling. I'm going down to the altar. I'm going to be down there with them. If Jesus is taking them in, if something's happening, then I'm going to be part of it. I'm going to get down there. I ain't going to be left out. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise. In the last days, He speaks of the little child. Even the little child shall lead them. It's your little son. It's your little daughter that moves out for God so many times. You know, one of the reasons they do that is because men like Brother Taylor, women like Sister Linda, and other men and women, they've dedicated their lives to indoctrinate these little hearts, to make them think about Jesus. To think about Jesus. And they're always thinking about Jesus. They've got Jesus on their minds. And so then when I start talking about Jesus, they come to the altar. But you don't do that. You know why? Because you've got the world on your mind. You've got eating and drinking on your mind. You've got making money on your mind. You've got traveling on your mind. You've been all the week long while they've been going to school and thinking about Jesus, you've been out in the world thinking about money and thinking about things. And thinking about your life and thinking about your program and thinking about what you want to do. Isn't that right? But they've been in school all week and they've been taught about Jesus. They're meditating in His laws. That's why it's so bad. That's why that the elders died and the children went into Canaan. It's sad, folks. But they have the hunger. They have Him on their mind. They have the desire. They know what it's all about. You think they're the little old children. But what it is, you just haven't had Him on your mind. You haven't been meditating. You haven't been thinking about Him. You haven't been taught about those things. Isn't that something? That's something, folks. You may not realize it, but that's something. I made the statement years ago. I said, watch the little children. I said, and when the little children start gathering in, I said, there'll come a day they'll start gathering in. I said, you'll know the end of the world is here. I said, someday it'll come. And I said, then you'll know the end of the world is here. I said, God will have run it all the way down the vine, all the way down through the ages. Beginning with the elders and coming on down and on down and on down until finally He brings it all the way down to the little children, that there be nothing that's lost, nothing in between. If He didn't bring it down to the little children, something would be lost, because you might get the teenagers over here and there might be somebody in between that didn't get God on their mind and didn't have God on their mind and didn't have a chance to hear God or about God. Like Brother Taylor sang the song, you never mentioned Him to me. But see, when the little children come, you know He's done run it all the way down, folks. Ain't nothing in between no more. Everything's been run all the way down. And it's that time. You love Jesus. You say, but I come to the altar the last time, Brother Clark. I know you did. But what did you do between that time and this time? What was it that you've done that you didn't need to come to the altar again? How good did you live? No mistakes, no problems, no thoughts, no blemishes, no nothing. Ain't had no problems at all. No bad thoughts at all. No bad feelings at all. Nothing ain't happened to you at all. Everything's fine.
the last time you come to the altar, took care of all of it. Why then does the Bible say be zealous and repent? God chastens them that He loves. Folks, you know and I know that it is with a regularity, it is with a continual thing of a regularity that you're battling the devil and that you're having the wrong thoughts and you're saying the wrong things and you're having the wrong feelings and you're constantly running into Lucifer, constantly doing it. And that you need to repent with the regularity and you need to conform to God with the regularity and you need to find the Lord and call on His name with the regularity. You do and I do and we do and all of the world needs to. I watched this morning. I was watching recently when people come to the altar. And there was one family that didn't come. And I thought, my God, that's the way it is. And so far as I know, that family needed to come perhaps as bad or worse than any family in the whole church. And that was the one that didn't come. Bad. You know, I look at you. I look at your men standing here. And I look at the ladies standing here. I look at the little children. And it's such a beautiful sight. And I think, Lord, this is so wonderful. Here they are at the altar. But now I want to ask you a question. Do you, as the men and you as the ladies, do you really believe that all of these people are right with God that's at the altar? Do you? Everyone that really believes, truthfully believes, that all of these people are right with God, I want you to raise your hand. Now see, you won't raise your hand because you don't believe that. A lot of you won't raise your hand because you know you're the person that's not right with God. So then you don't believe that all these people are going to heaven, do you? Unless there's a change in their life. Now see, how does that make the minister feel? If I preach to you and I talk with you and I pray for you and I fast and I seek the Lord and I try to be patient with you to make sure that every one of you makes it into the kingdom of God. And then I have to stand here and realize that some of you are not going to heaven, that you're going to hell. See, and I stand here and look at you and I think, oh my God, there's people in this crowd. And Father, though they're down here, yet they're going to hell. They're standing right there in my presence. I'm looking at them, talking to them, and telling them about the things of God. And yet, Father, a few more days, a little further down the trail, and they're going to be in hell. And they're going to be in hell from now on. They're going to be in a lake of fire a few days from now. Why? Because they wouldn't keep your word. They wouldn't listen to your word. They wouldn't believe what the preacher says. The Bible said, who hath believed our report? Though the word is gone to the end of the earth, who then hath believed our report? I mean, which one of you believe our report that's hearing me? See, who believes the report? To believe it is like Noah to do something about it. Who believes it? Who actually believes what we're saying? The ones that do something about it. The ones that do something about it. That's the ones that believe the report. The ones that do something about it. Then who hath believed our report? The ones that do something about it. Who then is going into the lake of fire? The ones that did not believe our report. Who are they that did not believe our report? The ones that did not do anything about it. The ones that's going on with the love of the world and the desire of the world and the things of the world with every sermon, though we preach it emphatically telling you that you cannot do those things that are carnal, yet you do them anyway. So then, who are they that's going into the lake of fire? You that do those things. You that do those things. Oh, I think, Brother Pike, you know, I just feel like something will happen. No, ain't nothing going to happen. There ain't going to be no lucky days. There ain't going to be no better days. There ain't going to be something that'll happen to where you'll feel better and everything will work out better for you. There isn't going to be any days like that. It's just one thing, folks. It's a straight, narrow path. The Bible said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So, I look at you and I think, Lord, this is so sad. But yet, how many times have you heard me say things like this? So you heard me say this last week and last month and last year. Where are some of the people that was here before? Where are some of the ladies that stood in this group? Where are they tonight? Where are some of the men that stood in this group? But I told him, I said, your heart's not right with God. I can't help what you give. I can't help what you've done. I can't help how many times you come to church. You still got the love of the world in you. And it's going to pull you away. And it hurts me because it's going to do it. But it's going to do it. And didn't they go their way? Somebody said, well, they were good folks. Perhaps they were good folks according to your term. The Bible said there's none good but God. So if you're not God manifested in the flesh as to your measure, as to the Word, you're not good. But somebody said, them's fine folks, they love the Lord, Brother Pike. And I believe that they're part of this thing. Well, I ask the question again. If they're part of it, where are they? The Bible said, if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they didn't continue with us, did they? Did they continue with us? No, they didn't continue with us. You know why they didn't continue with us? Because they were never of us. They were never of us. Why did they come to church, Brother Pike? For different reasons. One wants the prosperity and the money that comes with being churchy. They want that favoritism of making money. And once they get that money going, and everything going, and their business going, and they're getting that money, then they forget that the reason they got it was because they got in the midst of the children of God. And whoever the minister blesses is blessed. And then they pull away, and it isn't long before one of two things happen. The money stops, and everything goes down the drain, and their eyes come open. And they come running and saying, oh my God, what have I done? Or either the money continues on, and God gently says to the preacher, don't bother with them. They've had their reward. I'm not going to chasten them. I'm not going to stop their money. After a while, they're going into hell. Let them have what they've got. Let them go on. They've had their reward. And then they continue on till the dart strikes through the liver. So, I look at you tonight and I think, who's next? Like a disease going through the land. They have had plagues and epidemics. One would be killed tonight and somebody would think, well, who will be next? Who will be next? Sin is an epidemic. Who will be next? Which one of you fellows is going to get upset next? Which one of you going to get gullible next? Which one of you going to get hold of the world next? Which one of you going to play around watching things, listening at things, messing with things, thinking on things until you get tripped up and God excommunicates you? Which one of you ladies is going to do the same thing? Which one of you going to keep gossiping, backbiting, finding fault, causing division, doing the things that God would not have you do? And then the first news you know, you're gone. God prepares your heart to leave. And you find yourself on the outside and you can't get back in. A lot of sisters have stood in your midst, but they're not here tonight, are they? They're gone. You know why? They didn't listen at the minister. They didn't incorporate in their lives what he told them. And some of you men and women, you know what happened? You got by the skin of your teeth. Think back now. You ladies think back. You men think back. What has happened to you in the last year or two? How many of you have been out of the church and finally made your way back? How many of you got lifted up and thought everything was right and found yourself over yonder excommunicated and just by the grace of God that you're here tonight? How many of you stumbled and fallen and it was just the mercy of God that His hand reached down and got you? Folks, you better listen. It's a slippery way. The Bible said God has set them in slippery places. It's a slippery way. Let's lift our hands up. Close our eyes. Someday, when you stand before God, or you go to press your death pillow, you're going to say, oh Lord, I didn't care too much for that preacher. What he said didn't mean all that much to me. And I didn't pay that much attention to it. I didn't think I needed it that much. But if you do right, you're going to say, God, I didn't care too much for the preacher at that time, but I'm so glad that Brother Pike told me over and over. I'm so thankful to God that He didn't spare me. And I'm so thankful to God that He told me the truth over and over. Because now here I stand with eternal life. I never have to worry about sorrows and heartaches and pressures and death and loss of loved ones and torment and tortures and all these things anymore. Never again do I have to worry about it. I didn't appreciate that Christian preacher, that Christian brother, that Christian sister, that Christian husband, that Christian wife, that Christian son, that Christian daughter that kept reminding me, that Christian neighbor. I didn't appreciate him, but oh God, I'm so thankful that they was there. I'm so thankful because I see that without them, I would have been standing here ready to be turned into the lake of fire. But because that they kept on when I thought they were harassing me, they kept on when I thought they were aggravating me, they kept on when I'd like for them to shut up and left me alone and left me to my own way. But they just kept on and they wouldn't quit. And now I'm so glad because I'd be going into the lake of fire. I'd be walking down that lonely trail into hell. But because of their consistency, because of their determination, because of their love for humanity, because they wouldn't quit, because they did try to live right and I saw a light in their life to make me believe that there was something there. Today I've got eternal life. Today I'm free from the flames of the fire, the lake of fire. Today I'm a Christian. Today I'm going into the gates of heaven. That's what you'll say. That's the way you'll feel. That's the way it'll be, folks. Let's pray together. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, this has been another beautiful day of great, exciting things. And Lord, this has been another day of repenting and refreshing our minds in Jesus. It's been another day to call upon your lovely name and to say, I'm sorry, Father, for all the things I did not do that you told me to do. It's been another day that we've had a chance to refresh our minds in the Word of God and to ask ourselves the question, oh God, has that preacher told me something from the Bible that I would not do, that I have not done, that I put off and thought that it would be all right, that I wouldn't need that, that I had it figured out in my own mind, was going to do it my own way, go by what I felt, what I understood, what I believed instead of what the preacher said and what the Bible said. Lord, have I been so foolish as to throw my birthright away and my eternal life away by doing those silly things out of my own mind with the devil pressing my brain and pressing my spirit? Have I held on to foolishness and traditions and things of those that have been said to me that really has proved out that it's not the Bible at all, that it's just foolishness and heresy? Lord, you've given me another day. Will I live then another day? Will I live another day to remember this all? If I let this grow dull in my mind and I don't give the more earnest heed to it and I don't make preparations right now to do what God has told me to do, will I have another day and another day and another day, or will one day it all end? And suddenly, before I can do anything, it'll be ended and it'll be gone. And then it'll be eternally too late. Father God of heaven, look down in my heart. Look down in the hearts of these people. Let me not be a foolish man. Father, if there's anything in my life, in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, dear God, that's between me and you, move it, Father. Let me do whatever there is, if there's anything lacking in my life. Father, let every individual here realize that they are an individual. And God, that you're going to require of them individually, oh God. Everything you're going to require of them individually as to their relation with you. And not of another, Father, but of them as to their thoughts towards you and their desire towards you and their conformity to you and their meditation towards you as doing something for you, of being like you, that you're going to require of them individually. Oh God of heaven, forgive my precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Forgive the people that are calling on the name of the Lord throughout the world. Hear the cry of them. Look down and confront the people. Give them that extra opportunity. Give them that extra chance. Give them that extra bit of love. Oh God, as you've done through the years, as long as you can. And help me to do my little bit. Oh God, be with us tonight. As I dismiss my people tonight, Father, be with them. Because it's Christmas. And Lord, you know the danger of this season.
And many people, Father, really regard the day as unto Thee. And many people will be praying and loving Thee and worshiping Thee and giving to the needy and considering the darling Savior. Lord, may they be blessed. May they richly be blessed. And those that are in error, help them, forgive them, lead them, guide them, teach them. Make them to come to the understanding of the light. Let our light so shine that men may see the good works of our brethren at Bethlehem and glorify our Father which is in heaven, as they're doing all over the world, Father, according to the letters. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together. We're going to let you go. I love Him because He's mine. I love Him because He's divine. I will love Him forever, it seems. Oh, He's Jesus the Nazarene. Don't it thrill your heart to see these little children up here? If it thrilled your heart, raise your hand. I saw Georgie come up to the altar tonight. I saw him come from over there where my wife is sitting. He sat there and I picked up his spirit before he come. And I thought, now he's wanting to come to the altar. And within a few minutes, he got up, he come to the altar. Little Ernie, I see little Ernie. I love little Ernie. I see little Ernie at the altar. I see the other boys at the altar. I see Willie's boys here at the altar. I see the others here at the altar. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. I see Brother Bullard's little girl, Tabitha. She comes to the altar with a regularity. See, to me, that's so wonderful. What if they grow up to go out somewhere else? Wait till they go out to the bars. You know, wait till the little girl's picture comes up on the milk carton or on the cornflake box saying she's missing. They took her away. Oh, that couldn't happen to Bethlehem. Couldn't happen to my little ones. Oh, yes, it can happen to your little ones. Many a mother that never dreamed that she'd be part of that. Her little one is gone. Her world's torn to pieces. Her heart is crushed. And she'll never have life again. Why? They didn't ask the Lord to watch over them. They didn't try to watch over them themselves. They didn't tutor them. They didn't indoctrinate them. They didn't tell them. And the little ones fell into that. Folks, it can happen to yours. It can happen to yours. I beg of you in the name of the Lord Jesus to watch after them, to be a mother. That used to didn't happen to the little ones. Did you know that? Ask my wife's mother. Ask some of them that's back in those days. It didn't happen. You know why? Because mothers loved their children and they watched their children. And they knew where their children was. And it didn't happen to their children. But you know why it happens today? Like a mother told me over the telephone today, they're going to leave their children with such and such because they're going to do such and such. They got a bunch of babysitters today. And the mother doesn't want the responsibility of watching after her children. The same thing happens in the church. The preacher and the church doesn't want to watch after the spiritual babes. And they don't want to look after those that are their spiritual children. So they're in trouble. They're dying. Satan's stealing. The little ones, naturally speaking, are being lost. Look at the killing that took place in Atlanta. Look at it. The many little children that was killed. And in almost every case, it's where the mother isn't watching the child. And the child has a chance to wonder. Mothers here at Bethlehem, let me tell you something. Some of you, you let your children go anywhere and do anything. And you never know where they're at. I thought of some children over in the evening. It come to my mind. I said, God, these children wander around everywhere. The daddy nor the mother knows where they're at. I said, it can't be possible that they're going to get by with this. There ain't no way. Through prayer, a lot of times, yours have been protected. Somebody praying for you. But it's bad. It's bad. You need to watch after them. You need to watch after the little Christ that's in your heart. He can get hurt. He can get injured.
He can get killed. Did you know that? Oh, he couldn't get killed. Yeah, they nailed him to a cross. They killed him. That little Christ can get killed and he won't be in there anymore. You can kill him out. Somebody can kill him. He's a babe. He's in your life. You need to cuddle him. You need to love him. You need to mother him. You need to watch after him. He's in your heart. He's there to help you. Someday, he'll grow up. He's your means of inheritance. If you don't have him, you don't have any hope of glory. Let's sing that again, can we? I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus, he's the Nazarene. I love him because... Do you really love Jesus? Now, do you really love him? I love him. Do you really love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said, Father, they've kept your word. They've kept your word. If you love me, you'll keep my word, Jesus said, my commandments. So I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. And I thought how fortunate my mother is. My mother is a fortunate woman. She's had some misfortune as of late, but she lived all of her life, just about all of it, before she ever had a misfortune. And I thought how fortunate she is, though she lost a son when he was about 20-something years old. Yet all of her sons serve God. All of her sons serve God. All of her daughters are believers, and they make an effort to serve God. They're kind up and down. It's a bad day that we're living in, especially for companionship. But she's fortunate. You know, will I be able to say that of mine? Will you be able to say that of yours? Oh yes, somebody says, mine does what I tell them. Just wait till they get a little older. And then that's when you're going to find out. Like Rick coming to the Lord, he's been here and there and everywhere. Train them up in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. Will they come back? Will you be able to say, oh my God, my daughter didn't go to hell. My son didn't go to hell. My mother didn't go to hell. My father didn't go to hell. My loved ones didn't go to hell. Will you be able to say that? All I know to do is pray, folks. Pray and believe God. He promised. He's faithful. Them little ones here, so they're darlings, just darlings. But they're going to grow up one day. How many of the little ones is going to have God in their heart? It's what you put in there now that's going to count. How many of them is going to have God in their heart? Enough that when Satan reaches for their little bodies and reaches for their flesh and begins to talk to them about their flesh and the things of the world and what they can be and what they can have, how many of them are going to have enough strength, enough God to talk back and to pull them out of the hands of evil and hold them little bodies from that evil power that's going to try to massacre him? Which ones are going to have the wisdom and the strength to resist the devil that he might flee from them and be able to follow God and be able to make it on through? Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Let's bow our heads again. I'm going to ask Jimmy if he will, Brother Jim Kirk, if he'll come up. This message. What have you done for God today? Did you do anything? Did Brother Frank give you a chance to do anything for God today? He was in leadership today. Will he answer to God one way or another for either helping or hindering? Did Brother Jimmy give you a chance to do anything for God today? Will he answer to God for either helping or hindering? These men have callings. Will Brother Pike answer to God? Did he give you a chance to do anything for God? How will he stand? Folks, it's so sad to be so unconcerned. And the next night, and the next day, and the next night, and the next day, and the next night. I always make an excuse. Always bypass it. Always say, I forgot. Always, I'm going to do it next time. You know, to do anything for God, it's so easy to put it off and not fast today, but fast tomorrow, as we say. Or not pray tonight, but we'll try to get to it the next time. Or not give this service, but we'll try to give it the next time. Or it's always so easy to say, well, I'm not going to go to the house of God this time, but I'll get there the next time. And there ain't no need of me going every night anyway. But supposing that the night that you don't go is the night that you die, it'll be pretty bad if death strikes on that night that they're having service when you could have gone, but you didn't have any desire. It'll be pretty bad if I and Jim and Frank and the different leaders here stand before God and God says, why did you do that? Why is it that you did that when you were so diligent to your own cause, to your own house, to your own things, and you let my house lay waste? And you did not plead the cause at all of the ministry. How will that be? Somebody says, I don't like that, Brother Pike. I know you don't. I know you don't. Because like I said this morning, your attitude's not right toward me. And you're looking for something to attack me with, not knowing that you're attacking God. It's your carnal mind that's enmity with God, that's causing you to go down into the pit, that's cutting you off from Christ. Otherwise, you'd be with me and you'd be for me. And we'd be a unit working for God, trying to plead the cause, trying to work together, trying to help, wanting to do something. I want to say this again before Jim comes. This is the Christmas season. And I know where your desire is as people. And I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. Because people become habitual. They get in a rut. And even if they try to change, they can't change. Because they've developed a nature to do it. The same old beaten path. I can tell. A rat is going to continue to be a rat. A lion's going to continue to be a lion. A human being's going to continue to be a human being. That's their nature. If the leopard could change his spots and the Ethiopian in his skin, then they that are accustomed to do evil could do good. But that's not possible. So I know what you're going to do. And you that are sons of God and you that are daughters of God, I know what you're going to do. Because I know your nature is Christ's nature. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The child is known by his doings. You're going to be about your Father's business. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be meditating in his laws day and night. You're going to be trying to shape your life. You're going to be trying to find out what his pleasure is, that you might plead the cause and do something for the Lord Jesus.